So how are you guys?
Good.
Hanging in there.
We have a national sales meeting coming up. 4 weeks, is it, Tim?
Yeah.
So
we're all still working. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah. They haven't fired us yet. Yeah.
Have you guys done anything? Have you laid anybody off or hired anybody or done anything? Nothing.
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 What does sales look like?
They've been steady.
Slowed a bit. Record year. So, but you know, a lot of that was first half weighted. We're probably on a run rate of 120% goal right now, 6 months. So it's a great sales year. It's trending back down towards normal, which is challenging when they take the first 6 months and extrapolate. We should grow that by 20% next year. And so we're all screwed. But it's been a very good sales year and assets are way up too. So it's been a really good year. We're the kind of the lone bright spot in Western Southern right now. The rest of the company is struggling.
Really?
I'm just going to add to that. I find it interesting because I was looking back at sales and, you know, good start, but then May, June were just off the charts. And then we've still been all trending above goal. But you start looking at what's goal this year versus what goal is next year, not anywhere close the last couple of months to what our goals will be next year, but we're still beating this year's goals. It's just that are going up so much. 1 minute you're happy you're beating this year's goals. Next minute you're a little concerned because you're not close to next year's goal.
So do the guys is it a big deal when you beat goal? I mean, is it like a 50% increase in their pay or something?
No. To be honest, goals basically just keep you employed, to be hitting goal. They get paid the same if they're, you know, under or over goal. It's all just basis points.
They do have a break point after they sell so much, then they'll go up a basis point. Then they sell so much more, they go up another basis point. So it's their incentive to continue selling. And most, I would say, have hit that, might even be at the highest basis point this year.
And they're looking at a 1/3 haircut in basis points next year. So whereas in most years you'd see some sandbagging and people starting to push some things out to January and February, this year everybody's going to be ripping to try to bring it here because the pay is so much different.
Get the money today, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what will your top guy make? What will your average make?
So Natalie will be the top. She's mine. She'll probably be 550. Average is probably what, Tim, 400 this year?
Yeah, they'll probably be 400 this year. But Rob, that's an interesting question because you look at Natalie for Ben, who be about 550. But then you look at the number two guy, which is my guy, and I try to use that as incentive that he's going to, I don't know, he's going to be 50 to 100,000 less. A couple of reasons. One is we get paid less on a particular fund, Sand Select Growth, and he's had a ton of sales in that. So he's getting, you know, 8 basis points less on that. And the second thing is he has struggled with par. So at the end of the day, he's going to leave maybe 40, 50,000 on the table with his struggles with par. And that's my incentive is, why do you want to leave that on the table?
Yeah, why? I mean, par's not that hard, right? You just do them.
No, it's not. But
didn't think so.
Yeah.
So what's par worth to them? 50 grand?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah. Actually, probably a little more, probably 60.
Yeah.
Over the course of the year. It's 60% of their scorecard bonus. The scorecard's worth, what, 100 for them, Tim, over the year?
Nah, it's like 90.
90, okay. So 50 to 60 grand.
So what percentage of your guys will hit that 50 grand or 60 grand?
On par? Par? In my division, 3.
3 out of?
Yeah.
Out of 8?
8. So
now it's a scale, so like you can hit. Half. You hit like 90 or 80% of it too, so it's not.
Yeah, so they're gonna go somewhere between 10,000 and 60,000.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Average of 30,000.
Yeah, I've got 2 that'll hit the full boat. Another 3 or 4 that'll be close, and then 1 or 2 that are leaving a lot of money on the table.
Now, yeah. Would you guys ever not hit that number?
Oh my God, no. I mean, that's
yeah, what you do. Yeah,
it boggles my mind, Rob. Honestly, like I've tried. You know, I thought
they just not understand it, or I mean, you'd go to your buddies and go, "Hey,
yes,
do poker."
That's your buddies, that's,
right?
That's at least
I don't you got enough game. Buddies.
Yeah,
play the game. Like you know, somebody's doing a big trade, go and do a par with them the week before. Like, it's frustrating. You can, I've tried carrot, I've tried stick. It just some of them just I don't know.
Well, you know what it does? It tells you. Kind of tells you what you got, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be like the clearest thing. These are my salesmen. These are my,
Yeah.
So what I'll try to do sometimes too is we'll go through, you know, what Ryan Resendez puts together, the, a recap of everything and you put it up on the board, you know, on the screen like this, conference calls. Well, where's everybody sitting in par points? And I look at my guy who's second at the firm in sales. Zero par points all the time. I always put that up there and show, hey, you're worse than even the new guys at the firm.
Oh, well, that's like, just, that's defiance. Yeah.
Huh?
That's a little defiance.
Yeah.
It's, when your best salesman's not doing it, it means he's basically going.
Well, maybe he's not my best salesman and it's just one of those years. That's what I'm figuring out.
Really? Is he consistently top guy or not?
He's only been here a couple of years. So it's too
good to tell. He hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid yet.
Yeah. It's challenges.
50 grand here. 50,000. Yeah. They don't understand how hard it is to make $50,000.
Yeah.
That's the
problem. There's truth to that too. That's we get in this industry where like money numbers start to have less meaning. All of a sudden like $50,000. Oh, it's all right. Just I'll sell a little more. Like, no, that's a lot of money.
Well, it's like sell a little more, but get your 50 grand too.
Right.
That's why you're a salesman.
I got a guy in Chicago telling me he can't live on $150,000 a year. Yeah, he can. Trust me. Like, my wife lived there. She made $33,000 a year. She lived just fine. So I bet you can make it work.
The single guy who doesn't have to pay for kids or anything can't get off of that.
Yeah.
I think we've got the people outside our industry actually work for a living. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel very blessed to have found the niche.
So around. I'm working on a diversity project.
Oh, yeah.
Voluntary. Okay. What? As I talked to two other white guys, do you have any black guys in your universe?
Within Touchstone?
Employees?
In your sales force?
No.
We only have one female.
Does anybody care?
Yes. Blake, the new CEO, is very much shining a light on the lack of diversity.
Yeah.
Is he, is it to punch a card and look good or is it real?
I don't know him well enough to say.
I don't know him. Yeah. To say,
but he's,
how hard is it to hire a good black man to sell for you guys?
Oh, just in my, cause I had to interview a lot of people last year and, I never even really had any black guys even apply for anything. And I was in various parts of the country, Southern California, Texas.
How many guys are in our business doing what you do?
There's 150, well, maybe high, 100 asset managers like us, 3 to 5 divisionals per 300 to 500.
No, I mean salesmen. How many salesmen are in our, how many wholesalers are in the country?
Oh shit. 5,000.
Yeah, you take funds, you take annuities, 401k.
More, maybe 10,000.
Yeah.
I wonder how many are black.
That we had one when I got here.
No, Victor Frazier down in Texas, but he left for another firm.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I know it's, I was hiring.
I met one time.
Yeah. We had, I had 44 applicants for that Boston job. 42 white males and 2 females.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's my thing. And I'm doing this to develop FAs, right? Cause if you go into an office, it looks the same. I don't care where you are. Maybe in Charlotte, it looks a little different, but not many other places, right? So I'm working on a project to try and bring diversity to our industry. And I really want to make it for FAs because I think it's ridiculous, right? Because the average FA is just like you guys. I mean, he's taking home 500 grand or something, even the idiots. Mm-hmm. And so that money, you know, Blacks have done okay in their, as doctors, as lawyers, as CPAs, but they suck at our business in terms of the numbers. And I really, you know, it was frustrating for me in 2000 when I tried to fix this problem, right? So I've been working on it for 20 freaking years and done nothing. So I've finally decided that either we do something about it or we're going to end up with a frickin' revolution, right? I mean, it's kind of getting there, right? Not so much maybe, but at least I got the message, right?
Yeah.
You better fix some of the economic disparity or we got some issues. And then they're talking communism and socialism and we got the greatest capitalist system in the world and we're all doing great, right? Life is good. Well, we can't just sit here and say, oh, we got ours, so screw you. Right?
Sure.
And it doesn't mean that they all suck out there. They're good. There's good. I got friends that are great. Curtis Brown, my partner, is African American. Okay. So I would like to, I'm not doing this for anything except that it's the right thing to do. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous the way it is right now. And I don't think we need to compromise one iota. And that's my mission, is to not compromise one bit. No quotas, no bullshit, hire good guys, but they got to be trained, right? Yeah. So I want to take the best and the brightest out of the universities, particularly Black universities, give them a internship for 3 sophomore and junior year and employ and teach them financial planning and technology, you know, how to use the internet and all that. That's a job by itself. And then put them on a team, right? Smart guy, 3'8", on a team. Who would turn him down if he was a certified financial planner, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then his probabilities for success are like 90% if he's got a good personality. We've been mentoring him all the way along.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is put together a team of coaches like myself to train these guys and put them through a program that will pretty much guarantee their success.
Yeah. So are you going to partner with, you know, the Merrills, the Morgans, the Raymond James of the world, or?
That's my plan. Okay. To get funding from them to put these kids through, give them scholarships, you know, take kids that are freshmen or, you know, sophomores, identify them. Smart kids that might, you know, they're going to do well, but they're going to go work for Hanes, right? Or go work for, you know, Procter and Gamble. And they'll do fine, but they won't make $500,000. Okay.
Yeah.
And these guys are selling we got a whole generation selling their business right now, right? We got an opportunity of a lifetime of my generation retiring and turning their practices over to people. And then those people need a young guy, right?
Yep.
So let's say we, you know, my goal is 100, but I'd like to do 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. So I got 10 years. I could do 1,000.
Anything we can do to help? I mean, I feel like the Merrills, the Morgans might be a little more helpful with the funding, but from a training or coaching or anything like that?
Well, you guys are good salesmen, right? You're good at it.
You can teach
selling skills. You can teach, you know, how you build relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about relationships. I've got a guy that I coach, Nick Faulks, this guy is world class. He's bright and smooth as silk and nice and honest. You know, he's just a great guy. And I just want to use him as my model and run him through and make them all look like Nick.
Yeah.
Well, I like your model and what you're trying to do rather than just say, let's get these firms to hire people and you throw them out there like high percentage to fail. Kind of think through, you know, I ran around Minnesota, Wisconsin and then traveling with everybody throughout the West. There's not many African Americans that we come across that are advisors these days.
No. And if they come in, they come in and they set up a little shop and they make, you know, $70,000 and, you know, they don't really know success. Mm-hmm. And what I've talked to the guys about is that they don't really, growing up, even going to college, it's just not an option. It's not a path. They just don't know it as a path.
Yeah.
In their community, it's not a path, and that, you know, they don't know people that, and so you gotta start and teach it. That was, so I had like this 5-prong process to develop African Americans for my complexes, and it failed. So when I started my foundation, that was my purpose, to give scholarships and internships and solve this problem. Problem is I ended up giving scholarships and they'd end up being songwriters, you know.
Yeah.
I had no control. I couldn't control it, you know, so because it wasn't like pipeline. You know, it was good business major that wanted to get in our business. I give him a scholarship, give him an internship, and then go for it. And they decide that they're a better singer than they are, or they're better, you know, Haynes hires them. And it's like, yeah, I got a great job at Haynes. Well, congratulations. Way to go. You know, I'm sure you're going to be CEO of Haynes, but you don't get it. You know, there's a pot of gold just over that horizon, and you don't have to be a freaking 3.8. Okay. You can be a C+ and make 500,000.
Yeah.
Look at us.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You talk about the wholesaling industry. I remember, you know, come out of college, my brother-in-law had been a stockbroker in the true sense of what a stockbroker was back in the 80s. I'm like, I want to do that. And I was an advisor for a while. I didn't even know this wholesaling world existed at dinner. Even as I was an advisor, I didn't even know what it was. And then you finally figure it out and you're like, hey, that's not a bad gig.
So I think there's two things you guys could do. One would be to, if we have somebody that would be a good candidate, we could pipeline them through to your industry. Okay. They didn't want to be an FA, but they loved the business and thought that this was a good way to go. And so you'd do the same thing. You'd start them internal and then you make them external. They got the skills, sure. But we would have them pretty well trained by the time we gave them to you. So that's the game. And then of course we would look for funding, which if your new CEO, he's going to have a pot, right? That he wants to throw at something. And the question is, what are you going to throw at it? Now, Morgan Stanley just threw a pot of money at black universities. Well, that's great, but what the hell good is that going to do, right? You give them scholarships and they're all going to become something else. They're not going to get in our business. They're not going to help us fix our problem. So anyway.
Very true.
Western Southern sent me down to Howard University to recruit for our executive development program. And that tells you how diverse we are, that I was the person they sent. And I was with.
Right. You're very – well, actually, you're quite white, actually.
The darker complexion than some, but.
No, you don't even look like you ever went to Africa.
we set up our booth at Howard University, which is like, you know, one of the most sought after black universities. To my right was the NFL and to my left was Amazon. And the only way we have talked to anybody was when those two lines got so long they couldn't stand anywhere else. They had to stand in front of our booth and we talked to them about the program. It was terrible. Just terrible.
And you didn't, no interest, right? Just.
No, financial services. I didn't know that these jobs existed. Like, they don't know what this is.
Right.
Heck, Ben even went over and talked to the NFL.
Right. Like, you guys hiring? Yeah.
That's it. And you don't want to stereotype it, but that's the truth, right? I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be an NFL player. Okay. Or a basketball player. And other than that, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Right.
So Rob, is there a bigger problem for getting, just thinking about, white kids coming into our business? I know a lot of people come in. Why? Because their dad's an advisor. Their mom's an advisor.
Right.
But are we still attracting people into this business overall? What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, they're all coming in on teams.
Okay.
They're all coming in on teams. And I mean, if you're a manager and you don't start a person on a team, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, they really don't have a chance. So I don't see anybody hiring from the get-go anybody unless they were, work for Northwestern Mutual Life or they, had some real practice behind them or CPA or lawyer, but even those guys go on to teams. And the teams are getting wealthier and wealthier. The smart, like at Merrill, there's fewer and fewer individuals and bigger teams. And when they leave, it's like a disaster, right? It's just like a massive billions of dollars moving out the door.
Yeah.
So, I think our industry, I have my own opinion about the lack of, I just think that it's become the compliance directors are running the offices and running the show and entrepreneurship has gone to shit in our industry. Yeah. So that's why everybody's going independent. You put pressure on them, they're just going to say, screw you, I'm going independent. And then they get nobody supervising them, right? They just become an RIA and don't have the conflicts and I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not giving up. I can't fix the industry and I can't fix management, but I can do something about this, which would be a pretty fun legacy, for all of us, right? I mean, if it's not just, oh yeah, he did well and he made a lot of money and gave it away, big deal.
So are you ready to go live with this? Is this still in its
not yet? No.
Okay.
We're Curtis is building a business plan, and the thing I'm enjoying is the more I talk and brainstorm with people, the more we come up with stuff. Like there's two paths that we think will make a higher probability of success. One is if they're an athlete.
Yeah. Right?
So they got to be smart enough. They don't have to be a genius, but they have to be smart. Probabilities that if they're an athlete, they've already got their nose punched in.
Yeah.
So they're not going to cry. And the second is if they've been in the military. So, I'm my scholarship guy at Wake Forest is a tennis player, won the match to win the national championship. Okay.
Wow.
NCAA championship and was an Israeli, special forces guy.
Wow. Jeez.
So he's a Jew that, I guess that's some minority.
it's diversity, your goal.
Yeah. Wow. Please keep us in the loop, Rob. I'd love to be involved if we can be.
So yeah, my problem is that I've gotten sucked into the vortex of, but he's coming into our business. I just am trying to get him a job these guys that are, he's got a 3.8 and from Wake Forest. So he wants to go in private equity, right? He wants it now. And I'm like, you got a few steps you got to go before you get into being a partner in a private equity company.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get him a job with, as an investment banker. But anyway, so that's what I've been doing. And I've supported all the Olympic sports, you know, tennis and golf and women, a lot of women. And I've had fun doing it, but nobody's coming in my, you know, other than being investment bankers and not, nobody's being financial advisors.
I know.
Yeah.
And very few of them are black, you know, they're just because, you know, it's just anyway. So my son-in-law said to me, he reread our purpose statement and our mission for our foundation because he's on the board and he's in charge of the making sure that we're compliant with our mission and all that governance committee. And he said, you know, I read the mission statement. I don't think you're actually doing what you said you wanted to do. And I went, well, okay. You're right. I've kind of strayed because I've enjoyed the athletics. I enjoy traveling with the golf team to a while.
Can't blame you.
Right. And so anyway, so I'm going to get back on the mission, but I don't want to give up. So I've got the USTA as one of my sourcing places, and the ILA or whatever, the Intercollegiate Tennis Association. Mm-hmm. President of those is all excited about this. So Nice. Everybody's got the same issue. It's just how do you fit them all together? But they would be an interesting pipeline because kids graduate from college and they have nothing to do if they don't, you've got 200 people that can make a living as professional tennis players and you've got 1,000 trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not making any money. And then what do they do? Right. Go be a tennis pro.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times tennis players are pretty competitive people, especially when they're playing for national championships. They understand discipline and today even more than ever. I mean, they weigh themselves before they go on a match after, and then they eat a certain diet right after each match. Okay. I mean, it's insane. So this is a pretty good, this should be good for you guys, right? So I'm finding a pipeline of talented people that if we could give them the proper training, then they might be good raw recruits for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Right?
I mean, these guys graduate, they're usually good students. Tennis players and swimmers and, you know, golfers are usually good students because they don't expect to become, earn a living playing their sport.
Yeah.
They're good, but there's like two of them that go pro, right? On the team. So the rest of them got to do something. So they make good, but they're all white, but there are women. Okay. So we have a whole women's golf team and still, thank God we didn't get cut. Half the tennis teams have been cut because of COVID. So we still have women. So that would be from a, you know, somewhat diversity angle would be good for you guys.
Sure. Pops, so, at 8:30. I have to jump off here.
Yeah.
But keep us in the loop, Rob. I'm excited about this. This sounds great.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
It's going to be fun. And I think everybody can get kind of excited about it because obviously the whole country's got the problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Sounds good. We'll see you. Yep. Bye.